This Seattle Medium podcast is sponsored by the Port of Seattle.
Hi, my name is Mian Rice, the Diversity of Contracting Director for the Port of Seattle. As a public agency, the Port of Seattle serves the community, and our investments should benefit everyone who lives and works here. The Port is committed to equity, diversity, and inclusion, and to leveling the playing field. That means continuing to open doors to contracting opportunities to all, especially women and minority-owned and disadvantaged businesses. How can you participate? List your business in Vendor Connect, a database of contractors. Attend Port Gen workshops to learn how to do business with the Port. Learn more about contracting opportunities at portseattle.org. For more information on operating a concessions at Seattle-Tacoma International Airport, visit lease.ctacshops.com.
NAACP President and CEO Derek Johnson is calling on Black student athletes to reconsider their decisions to attend public colleges and universities in Florida. The call comes in response to a new state policy preventing institutions from utilizing funds for government funds for diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. When they talk about this issue, is political commentator Opio Ciccone. Good morning, Opio.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing good. And yourself?
I'm doing well, my brother. Just trying to live.
I hear that.
Trying to be happy.
Yeah. Opio, this controversy stems from a bill signed by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis last year restricting public colleges and universities from using state and federal funds for DEI programs. As a result, University of Florida recently decided to eliminate all DEI positions, which drew condemnation from NFL Hall of Famer Emmitt Smith, an alum of the school, and Smith emphasized the need for minority athletes to be aware and vocal about such decisions.
Yeah, I think it's incredible at this stage that we are still talking about this. As much money as Black athletes make for these universities these days, like, I would be afraid to do something like that if I was over a university. But you got this guy by the name of Ben Sasse. He used to be a senator in Nebraska. Now he's the head of he's the president of the University of Florida. There are magazines that call him the hatchet man for Ron DeSantis. You know, the governor backed out of running for president, getting his butt kicked by the Trump people. What's interesting, they end up signing this law a couple of years ago in Florida. They're called the anti-woke laws. And a lot of them going around in different states where they're dealing with the taking away diversity, equity, inclusion. This is really all about resources because they're talking about these jobs taken away. Of course, you know, these are jobs that people are getting paid decent money, but also they took away the contracts. The contracts they were putting out there that were under these as well. And so, again, we talk about resources. They're going to take that $5 million and put it right back in the hands of white folks who are complaining that that $5 million that they were using at university is going other places. And so that's what we're dealing with. Now, $177 million Black athletes and some of the top universities are making for these universities, and they're complaining about what? So this is really interesting.
Right. And that was my next point, Opio. And you kind of mentioned it, between July 1st, 2021 and June 30th, 2022, University of Florida sports teams generated over $177 million. And much of that revenue was generated as a result of the talent of Black athletes. And it's one of those things, Opio, where, you know, the NAACP is calling on people to make a conscious decision about where they attend school and allowing these schools to leverage their talent in order to create profit almost, you know, discriminate against them, really.
Right. The NAACP is right on point. They pinpoint exactly where they need to be on this. And this is why I get so mad when people go, you know, these athletes, they're young. You know, they just got this, you know, white man just gave them something good. You know, why should they, run away from that? people were saying that during the same time, you know, doing the bus boycotts, and any time black people want to stand up and make something happen. You know, it's about a sacrifice that people die for you to be out here doing this. And so don't stop the young person that might want to go to a black school versus give all his talent to a white school that don't care nothing about him that he's making so much money for. But, you know, it's also an issue of, you know, we need to make ourselves wealthy. And we'll be talking a lot less about a lot of this stuff if every person that's, let's just say, in Seattle or in Washington that's on a board or part of some big organization, when they go into those organizations, they're making sure they're bigging up black companies. Hey, the Z-Twins radio station, the Seattle Medium, they've been around for a very long time. Let's make sure they get annual contracts. The black person that's sitting at the board table have to say that. You know, the person that's in politics that have access already, that's already included, that are black, and also that are white, you have to say, hey, let's make these companies wealthy. We make a company like the Bennett family wealthy. We know they're going to take the money and do some incredible things for the city and for this country because they've shown that they're able to do that already. And nobody put out more intelligent information in media than the Bennett family and the Z2N's radio stations. And this is why we continue to come back, and we want to support you guys and what you're doing, because you guys are not just out here just throwing things against the wall. Y'all are right on the issues that need to be. And this is why also we have to make sure we're registering to vote and we vote, because so much of this, and I believe a lot of this, is political. But what's interesting is that the 11th Circuit Court of Appeal down in Atlanta, they ruled against a couple weeks ago these woke acts. They ruled against it on the First Amendment issue because they're saying that what they've done with these anti-woke acts, they've gone in and they're saying the government allows some things to be talked about and not some things and some other things not to be talked about. And this is where you get strange bedfellows, because this is where you're going to have conservatives and liberals can kind of come together. The person that wrote that on the 11th Circuit was a Trump judge. She's a female by the name of Britt Grant. She wrote for the panel on that against Ron DeSantis and that woke act or anti-woke
right.
act.
Right. And Opio, the NAACP is calling for action as it relates to all schools in Florida, which has a significant number of HBCUs. Do you believe that athletes should stay away from these schools as well because of what's being done in the state of Florida?
No, those are not the big schools. We don't have our black schools are the biggest schools. And they are great schools like FAMU. You can't get a better. I know you remember back when you talk about the business school at FAMU, and you can't throw a rock without in Florida finding somebody incredible that coming out of FAMU and also BCU as well. And there are a lot of older people, much older in their 80s and 90s. They don't know about people from white schools coming into community and stabilizing it through education and so on. But they know about FAMU, they know about BCU, they know about Edward Waters College and what those graduates have done. You know, so when we talk about the $177 million, we're talking about these schools that don't want black people there, but accept to make them money so that money can go into educating the children of the people who hate black people. And that's really what it's all about time to boil down to. Again, this is really all about resources, and it's the same old fight of good and evil, because anywhere you see racists doing something that, you know, there's something wrong. And again, we have to vote. We have to register to vote. We have to vote, and we have to make black businesses rich.
Right. And Opio, this issue, and you alluded to this, is concerning DEI is bigger than college and college sports. Republicans are calling on elimination on DEI for both public and private entities, and it really is more about empowerment or trying to limit the empowerment process as it relates to underserved communities, particularly African Americans. And, you know, when we start looking at a broader scale and seeing the impact that these policies are trying to have and may have. I mean, we talk about DEI across a whole state like Florida, and you talked about it impacts so many different entities. It impacts so many different companies, individuals, and organizations. especially those that are trying to help empower our community, and really helps with is really more of what they're looking at as disenfranchisement with these policies.
Right. You know, when it all comes down to it, you know, it's about, you know, making sure that when it comes to diversity, people are being hired from different backgrounds. And so that creates a rich environment. Equity, talking about employees are being given resources they needed to gain access and opportunities and being paid fairly. And inclusion, a lot of Black people talk about working at a place where you feel value, where your words are being heard, where you feel a sense of belonging, where you're not on pins and needles every day. You know, whiny white males or something else, you know, they complain that's going to be a good situation that can make a company great, but they find some way to complain about it. And boy, wouldn't you like to be a white woman where whether you support something or not, you still benefit from it. You know, and that's what I've always thought about when I was doing politics is, you know, as a young person coming out of Norfolk State, I was always thinking, how do Black people get into the situation where no matter what happens, we benefit politically? And I think that's where we need to be.
Right. And you bring up a very good point there with that. You know, yesterday it was affirmative action. Today it's DEI. And, you know, we won't even talk about voter disenfranchisement, but what's the next step? Where are we going tomorrow? Or where are they going tomorrow, trying to go?
Right. This is all the same thing. When you mention affirmative action, what just happened to that? I mean, they cut that up where they're saying that you can't go into these universities, and universities are ending a lot of the way that they enter students, you know. But it's really interesting how they really tread lightly when it comes to affirmative action in the military. Why? Because there are wealthy people who don't like Black people that you never see, you know. They benefit greatly from the military. They benefit greatly from people dying for them, right? Just like in these universities. These same white folks, when they put their kids in these schools, they benefit from these Black people running and jumping for them and making $177 million a year, so that their kids can go to school and they can have a good time and they can receive the best education. You know, so, you know, it's all about resources. It's always going to be about resources, and I can't say it enough. You know, when we make ourselves wealthy and we give our talents to ourselves, you know, and I don't believe that, you know, we should have to segregate ourselves. I believe that we get our money and we get everybody else's money. But that's how we have to start thinking about all of this. So no matter what happens, we win.
Right. And OPO, how important is it for our community, and it's twofold, to support the NAACP in this effort? Number one, to support this initiative and what they're calling for, either through verbal support, support that might relate in the writing of some emails or petitions or whatever it is, but also financially, you know, supporting the NAACP and their, you know, and their local chapters down there, especially down there in Florida with this going on, but also for, you know, our young people to support the notion that our young people should really consider not attending these schools, because, you know, young people get put into a difficult position, as you talked about earlier, and certainly, you know, people are asking for them to make a very difficult decision in their opinion for where they want to go and what they want to do. But, you know, if you have the support of your community, people rallying around this issue, I think it make it a little bit easier. But how important is it for us to be supportive of these athletes and the NAACP?
The elders have to always be in the community talking, you know, or ignorance will prevail. You know, some of the young people, they don't know about Omega Evers. They don't know about him being shot and crawling up where his wife and kids are right there. That's the NAACP man right there. Now, they don't remember where the NAACP was an organization where the same type of work they're doing right now, they were being bombed and people were being killed and people were being lynched. NAACP. The great thing about the NAACP always is because they're heavily educated. And boy, watch out for heavily educated Black people, because they can fight. and they find different ways to fight. What people need to do is do what Dr. Kingdom did. You know, there's a sacrifice, and, you know, sometimes you don't get all of what you want right then, but there's so much more that you're going to get later on when you support the organization that's out there making these moves and have been doing it for over 100 years. I mean, study W.E.B. Du Bois, study Ida B. Wells. They were the ones that helped create this organization from the beginning. You know, so once we know that information about, you know, what this organization is and what it's done and how much we've benefited from it, you know, go join. Not only join, make sure that you tell young people to, you know, hey, you can figure this out. And all the old people in the organization that always got something negative to say about when the young people come in and try to change things, yeah, that's something that you have to deal with too. Complain about it, but still get in there and do the work. You have to roll up your sleeves. But when it's all said and done, those young people out there, yeah, go to a black school. Go to black schools. Go to where you want it. Go to where you're needed. And then turn your talents around and do bigger things. And again, you know, wherever you are, even if you're at the white university, even if you're on the white in the white boardroom, make sure you mention these black companies that have been around for a long time. Get them the annual contracts. So why we're complaining about these policies being pulled from under us, you're still doing the work. You're still doing the work that we need, no matter what the policies are.
Right. Well, Opio, I want to thank you for joining us on today's show and continue to shed light on this very important topic.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it, bro.